topic, the Maine referendum. So this past Tuesday was election day in Maine. You could turn to page one. And you see in front of you a sample ballot from the state of Maine referendum election. So let's skip some of the other maybe interesting questions. Let's go straight to question five. Do you want to change the medical marijuana laws to allow treatment of more medical conditions and to create a regulated system of distribution? Question mark. What's the question at hand? So in 11 states in the United States, medical marijuana use is legal. That means it's permitted to possess and to use, to take marijuana for medicinal purposes in a small, limited quantity. However, you can't buy it. At least in most states, even if marijuana is legal to take, one may not purchase it. You can't just go downtown and buy it on the street corner somewhere. That's still an illegal activity.
How about growing it?
So the way that the government expects, if you live in the state of Maine, would be to grow the marijuana yourself.
A doctor can't prescribe it and get it in a controlled environment?
No. So what the people of Maine were wondering was, is it permitted to now allow a regulated system of distribution? Exactly that. And case in point, they did vote in favor of this question.
Pharmaceutical distribution.
Some regulated distribution. So this brings up the whole issue. This was the discussion in the news last week, so I thought it'd be worthwhile to look at just for a few minutes tonight. What is the story with medical marijuana? So if you look on the next page, in terms of the case history in secular law, it's very interesting. There was a case that came up in 2005 in which the U.S. government stated, the Supreme Court stated that even though there are many states which allow the use of medical marijuana, nonetheless, the federal government still retains the right to prosecute the use of marijuana. So it's a kind of a very strange phenomenon here, that on the one hand, the states say it's permitted. On the other hand, the feds say that it's not permitted. Take a look at that later on your own time. If you go to page 4, however, in 2009, just a few months ago, in the Huffington Post, they reported the U.S. Supreme Court handed down yet another decision on medical marijuana, but this is in the other direction, which is that there was a county, one of several, San Diego County, which is in California. California has one of the most permissive attitudes on medical marijuana, and they actually allow, it's rampant in California, they allow these various distribution centers and people to sell them and deal the marijuana. It's a whole thing. So San Diego County said, wait a second, we don't want to get involved in this. We're not interested. Back in California, back a couple of years ago, they tried to institute ID cards for those who were permitted to carry the marijuana, and San Diego County said, we're not interested. We don't want that. So the state of California moved to enforce the state law which is permitting medical marijuana, and they won. The state won, and San Diego Board of Supervisors is put down. Therefore, California's medical marijuana still obtains even in San Diego, and they must comply with the state law. So that's where we are in terms of just the interesting history. You could take a look more on it as you see fit. For the moment, let's make an assumption here for a moment, and I have a whole article here in the Journal of Opiate Management. So I found this a very interesting article that was published a little while ago on the effects of medical marijuana. So the primary use of marijuana is for palliative care. However, nonetheless, there are some who claim that there are some medicinal benefits in the sense that it returns people's appetite. If chas v'shalom they're terminally ill, they have chemotherapy or something that's really bothering them, it's not allowing them to eat, so they would use this medical marijuana. So the question is, from a halachic perspective, what's the story with medical marijuana? So when I started to look into this, there is an interesting article on this by Rabbi Wally Green. Wallace Green is actually a former member. I am a former member of his shul. Rabbi Green is a member of Shomrei Torah in Fairlawn, where I was before we came to Chicago. So Rabbi Green teaches and is a wonderful member of the community. So he's one of the fellows in the shul. And I never knew he wrote an article published in the Judaism magazine, which is a periodical published by the American Jewish Congress, on halachic parameters of medical marijuana. And one of the things that he discusses in there, aside from, we're not going to talk about tonight, the issue of dina de malchusa dina. Let's say halachically it's permitted, but your state prohibits it. I don't want to talk about that tonight. That could be a whole discussion in and of itself. But one of the things he talks about is the essential, the thrust of medical marijuana being used for palliative care. So when I was researching this, I was thinking, wait a second. Is there really a source? Where do we find an obligation to take away someone's pain? Let's say they have pain or they're suffering. What's the exact obligation? What's the halachic parameter of taking care of the pain? Maybe the obligation, the notion of healing is limited to actually saving someone's life if they're in a dangerous, precarious situation. But if they're totally functioning, they just are in a lot of agony. Who says that there's an obligation? So some point to just get the conversation rolling, some point to this source in page 5, the Torah Tumimah, Rabbi Yechiel Michal Epstein. So he put together an interesting chumash where he has on the top, he has the psukim with the rashis and the onkelis. Then in the middle, he has Torah Tumimah, which is the compilation of citations of Talmud pieces and midrashim. And on the bottom, he has his own personal commentary. So on the pasuk Verapo Yerape, which is an important verse, because if you look where the arrow is, Tana Deber Rabbi Yishmael, Verapo Yerape. The pshat of the pasuk means that if you damage someone, you must heal them. But says the Gemara, Tana Deber Rabbi Yishmael, Verapo Yerape, Mikan, from here, Shenitna Rishus Lerofe Leraposh. This is the license for doctors to heal. Because one could have said, well, who says that a doctor is allowed to heal someone? Maybe that's what the Ribbono Shel Olam wanted. He decreed this illness, chas v'shalom, on someone.
That's
so maybe
Scientology.
That's what... What's that?
That's Scientology.
Is that how it works?
That's a... What do you call it?
They don't believe
they don't
in doctors?
Yeah, right.
Oh,
they
interesting.
The witnesses also.
The witnesses,
yeah. So anyway, I'm not familiar, so that is the Havamina that's operating here.
Scientists, yes.
Uh-huh. So, says the Gemara, no. We think, says the Torah, we understand that the Ribbono Shel Olam wants us to pursue healing. So on the bottom, the Torah Tumimah points out that there's actually another pasuk which is utilized to teach us the rules of healing, the permissibility and the obligation to heal, which is Vahashivoso Lo. Top of the second column, where I have it bracketed off. Avedas gufo hecho sheroa, in the third line, sheroa es chavero tovea benahar. If someone sees his friend chas v'shalom drowning, olisim boim olav, what's the din? Says the pasuk, v'hashivo so lo, you're obligated to return it to him. What does that mean? Just like if, let's say you lose your pen. Shimon, you lost your pen sometime. What happened?
Yeah.
What happened? So if I found your pen, I knew it was yours, I would be obligated to return it to Hashavas Aveda. So Chas V'Shalom, my friend is sick. So obviously I'm obligated to heal him. I'm returning his body to him. V'Hashivo Solo. So maybe, he suggests, what's the difference? Why do you have two psukim? So it's an interesting question. So some point to the fact that he says, Ach Poshet, it's simple to... when an illness is coming on him, mitzvah l'raposo, it's an obligation, it's a commandment to heal him. So this is the source, according to some, that there is an obligation to take away the pain. Because he already told me that if the guy's drowning, or if he's being attacked and mugged, I have to save him. Here I'm being told I have to heal him. But I don't think this is a very convincing source. Because even though several articles cite this Torah Tumimah, he doesn't actually say that you have to remove the pain. He means you have to heal the person. It could be he's talking about a circumstance where it's really a dangerous situation. So where do we see in halacha that we recognize suffering as an important halachic category?
I can think of Bikur Cholim being that, because they come to take your mind off of your problem.
Okay, good. That's one possible place. You're supposed to daven for the chola to help him heal. Take a look on the next page. You're not going to believe what you see. There is an opinion. It's not the only opinion, but there is one opinion. It might not even be the majority opinion, but there is an opinion in Tosfos right here in Ksubas, Daf Lamed Gimel Amid Beis. Up at the top where I have the arrow. Ilmole Nagdua Lechananya Mishol Va'azaria Havu Palchu L'Tzalma. Says the Tosfos, had Hananya, Mishael, V'Azaria been tortured by Nebuchadnezzar, they would have bowed to the image. What's the context? Anybody remember the story?
Hananya.
Exactly. They were told by Nebuchadnezzar, bow to the statue that everyone has to bow to, and they said,
no way.
We'd rather go into
a flame.
Exactly. So they did. They went to the fiery furnace, and the angel saved them. The Gemara makes a comment. This is a startling comment. Had they been tortured,
they would have surrendered.
They would have surrendered. Interesting. So Tosfos asked the question, and he says, wait a second, how do you know this? Don't we know the famous story of Rabbi Akiva? The martyrdom of Rabbi Akiva, who unfortunately at the end of his life, the Romans raked his flesh with iron combs. They literally tortured him to death. And what did he say? He said, what is that? He says, my whole life I waited to fulfill the verse of b'chol nafshecha, of giving up my soul. So Tosfos says, wait a second. Why is he talking about b'chol nafshecha? He didn't have to give up his soul if he was being tortured. So the question is suffering, pain, worse than death? That's the question on the table. We know that for death, you're obligated to give up your, you have to give up your life, but are you supposed to give yourself up for torture? What about in that case? So Tosfos gives two answers. The first answer is Rabbeinu Tam. Vom Rabbeinu Tam, to osol tzelem lohoyes lohoya avodas kochavim. What's the answer? That image, that graven image, was not an idol. It was for honor of the king, it was for Nebuchadnezzar's glory, but it wasn't actually an idol. And therefore, if it wasn't an idol, they were technically allowed to bow. Now, the reason they didn't want to bow was because of their exceptionally scrupulous adherence to Avas Hashem. But, according to Tosfos, first opinion, Rabbeinu Tam, he says that on the books, they would have been allowed to, and therefore, only because it wasn't an idol would they have given in to the torture. But if it was a real idol, they would have been tortured! And the pain doesn't matter. However, Tosfos concludes, Umiyu, Palchu Litzalma Mashma, the fact that the Gemara says, Palchu Litzalma, they bowed to the image, it sounds, Shat Selem Hoya Avoras Kochavim. It sounds like it actually was an angel, Midika Omar Palchu, since it says, Polach, sounds like they served it. So the conclusion of Tosfos, the second opinion in Tosfos, seems to say what?
That it wasn't a Avodas Kochavim.
And yet?
No.
And yet they were willing to be Miyasser and possibly change their faith, if you will.
Perhaps.
But Tosfos' final answer is, was Avodas
Avodas Zohar, yeah.
And therefore?
And they would have keeled over for and changed faiths if they had been tortured. That's a conclusion that the Tosfos comes to.
Okay, I mean, I didn't see it, I saw it.
Say that again? That's the conclusion that Tosfos comes to?
He doesn't come to a conclusion. He says, Miu, possibly, maybe, it actually was idol worship. And therefore, you see from here that suffering, halachically, is worse than death. Whereas a person is obligated to die al kiddush Hashem, they might not be obligated to suffer al kiddush Hashem.
Yeah, but the going into the fire is bringing you to the death.
Right, so they would have been obligated to jump into their death, but they wouldn't have been obligated to endure suffering.
I don't get it from using the Zohar. It sounds like
from the description of Tanakh that it was so incredibly hot that even the people who were surrounded, the fires leaped out and burnt them up to a crisp. That they fell right. It was incredibly hot, the furnace, thousands of degrees hot. Instant death.
I don't see where the issue of pain comes in, where they're bringing themselves to death because it's a Avodah Zarah.
No, the point is, the Gemara is saying, had they not been put to death immediately, had the alternative been torture, they would have bowed to the idol. They would have been over.
Oh, okay.
That was the caption of Tosfos, right? That was Il Mole, had they. Make sense now?
Yeah, somewhat. Yeah.
So what we're saying here is an incredibly radical suggestion of Tosfos, that halacha acknowledges pain and suffering to the point where it may be even considered more than death.
I don't think it's so radical.
Okay. I think it's quite a radical statement in the sense that this is a...
Esoterically, it's a radical statement, but anyone who's undergone tremendous pain...
Definitely, but
will certainly plead for death.
That's an interesting question. I don't want to get into I don't want to get into the specifics of that question, whether or not people prefer death to pain or not. That's a complex question. But from a halachic standpoint, we are accustomed to thinking that the three cardinal sins, they are Yehareg ve'al Yavor, there's no question. But according to this potential possibility, the second day in Tosfos, suffering plays that role. Another example of suffering in halacha is in Source 7. Another example, one of many, in Hilchos Shabbos and other areas of halacha, which is, this is just a Chai Adam easy source to bring it to you, but it's in the Gemara, it's in the halacha, Rishonim, Achronim, everywhere. The discussion here is regarding popping pimples or pus bubbles, a pus on Shabbos. So usually, creating apertures is a malacha on Shabbos. Whether it's creating aperture in a jar, creating openings in a box, in a building, opening doors, these are kinds of, not opening a door that swings, but breaking into a house and creating a doorway, that's a malacha of bonem. So obviously, opening an aperture in the body is not a malacha of bonem midaraisa, but it should probably be, the Gemara says, a malacha of bonem midrabanon. But the Gemara says, if the person has something which is bothering them, a couple of weeks ago I had an infected finger, and it was really bothering me. So I had to go to the doctor, and they had to pop it and remove all the pus. Sorry to be so graphic. So when that happens on Shabbos, which in certain cases is permitted to deal with that on Shabbos, the Gemara says that's mutar lechatchila. One may do that a priori. Why? So he explains the Chai Adam Rav Avram Danzig. Why? Says the last line, B'makom tsa'ar lo gazru. In a case of discomfort, the rabbis didn't institute their Isser de Rabbanon. Hey Mamru, hey Mamru. They said there was an Isser, so they said there's no Isser because of suffering.
But they gave a reason, Kivan Sheinam Mitkayim Klal.
Right.
Because it's not a permanent situation.
Right, but that should Lechor only make it an Isser de Rabbanon. Who says that it makes it Heter Gomor? We downgraded it two steps now. We started from an Isser de Raisa, downgraded it to Rabbanon, and now because of the Tsar, we say it's Mutar Lechatchila.
Because it's a Rabbanon.
Because it's a Isser de Rabbanon. Similarly, there is an Isser on Shabbos to take medication. The Isser is a Gzeira of Shchika Samamonim. Maybe the person, by taking the medication or doing any other type of refuah, will grind up the herbs and spices. That's a Din de Rabbanon. However, the Ramah quotes from the Bishonim that if a person is Chola Kol Gufo, they can't function normally, they can't walk around, they have to go lie down in their bed. So what's the Din? They are mutter to take medication. If a person has a migraine, again, this is not halacha l'maisi, ask your rabbi, but theoretically, if a person has a migraine, they'll have to lie down, they can't function. So then they would remove the Isser d'Rabbanan of refuah, and they would allow it because
suffering.
of the tsar, of the suffering of the person. So you see yet another example of where tsar plays a role. Take a look at an interesting case in Yoredeya, page 8. There is an issue, and I don't want to get into too much. There is an issue, a discussion here about Kibbur HaVeim, and one of the issues in Kibbur HaVeim is makeh of a chas v'shal. A person is not allowed to hit or wound their parent. That's an issur d'oraisa. So what happens if you're a doctor and your parents ask you to perform surgery on them? So the Shulchan Aruch says, you got to get somebody else. However, the Ramah says here, look in the Rashi script in the middle where it's bracketed in Reishimam Aleph in Yoredeya in Sif Gimel Bamidvar Mamurim. When is this? B'shiyesham Acher Lasos. If somebody else is available, if there's another physician. Aval im ein sham Acher Lasos. If there's no one else to perform this surgery. V'hu mitzta'er. And the parent is suffering. Hari hu makizo. The son can bloodlet v'chotech and do the surgery. Lof kefi masha yirshu lasos. As far as the parent permits.
Is this in Mashiach Shulas referring to the parent or referring to the heter of Rofe to be...
In this case, it's the parent.
So it's not a deraisa derabanan heter.
It's here. It's a new heter that b'makom tsar, we allow the child to operate on the parent. The parent can forego.
No, because I was wondering, Yalshuhum refers to a third person being matir.
Right, I think it's the parent. But now let's expand the notion of pain even one step further. Look at this next page, the Shalas Chuvas Chelkas Yaakov, Rav Yaakov Breish, just this past century, was asked the basic question, Imutar libesula lasos la'atzma nituach alachosem li'alachotem li'yashro ulahaktino. Can a girl have rhinoplasty?
Rhinoplasty.
Plastic surgery.
Yeah.
This is addressed to Reb Shalom Yecheskel Ruben Halberstam, the Admor of Chesanov in Brooklyn, who had was a big Talmud Chacham, had correspondence also with Rav Moshe Feinstein.
If a woman can have rhinoplasty?
Yes, this can the girl. Can the girl? She's a girl. She's a single girl. What's the question?
Yeah.
He says, look, she has terrible low self esteem. Mm-hmm. She is, according to him, bosha. She is mizbayish lelech bnei adam. Let's say chas v'shalom. Again, this is a sliding scale. This is not. We're not talking about every person. You got it. Every case is different.
You're
but
in principle, now,
oh,
right?
Exactly. Says the Chelkas Yaakov, even though there are two potential issues here. One is the issue of chavala, of wounding oneself, which is not permitted, and the potential of danger. In Beis, he quotes that Ramah, which we just cited, that it's mutter for the parent to do the surgery on the parent because of tzar. So he says, in this case, halfway down in Os Beis, here in the tshuva, he says, look, in this case, the woman is Mizbayesh Leilich Bein Bnei Adam Shari. De'ein Lachot Tsar Golomizeh. He cites a Tosfos in Shabbos who says that psychological pain is also pain. So not only do we know that suffering, acute suffering, is halachically important. Not only do we know that a person who has a migraine, not only know if someone who has a pimple or an infection in their finger, that they have pus, but even psychological pain. All of these have important ramifications in terms of the halacha. So now let's bring this back to Hilchos Shabbos. Take a look on page nine. Let's bring this back before we hit Hilchos Shabbos, just to frame the whole discussion. Now we understand there is a concept called palliative care. Before we talk about actual marijuana, let's talk a little bit about morphine. So this is the source number nine. It's a fascinating source. It's from an article from Dr. Steinberg, Avram Steinberg, who's a rabbi and a doctor, an incredible human being, who essentially wrote the Israeli law for the Knesset on end-of-life issues. Pursuant to that, he published an article in the Medical Halacha Journal called Asya, which is an Aramaic name for doctor, which is the most prominent halachic medical journal today. In Asya, he gave an explanation for what he did, his research for the rule of law in the state of Israel. A halachic explanation. So here I just gave you a snippet of the article. Now we understand the zechiyah of palliative care. We're talking about practical implementation. Says Dr. Steinberg, Harav Dr. Steinberg, Hatipul b'meshakakei ke'ev. Meshakakei ke'ev is?
People in pain.
Exactly. Meshakakei means analgesics. Mm-hmm. Palliative care. Kagon bitrufot mikvutzat ha narcotica. Mutter, he says, based on everything we've said, that it's important to keep in mind we gotta heal people's pain. It's mutter. Afim yesh chashash rachok shem alulim lekarevis moso shel hachola hanota lomus. Even if it's potentially possible that it'll hasten the death of the sick person. Why? Shekein ke'ev v'sevel hu matzav shel machala. Suffering and pain is an illness itself. Umutar letapil b'ze kumo b'chol machala acheres. And you may treat this as you would any other illness. Lamrot sheish sikunim mesuyamim b'tipulim. Magam sha'sikun humizari. Even though there are small chances of danger, we have to do that just like we would treat any other illness. Now he says, there are several tana'im, there are several conditions here. Number one, the purpose is to lighten the pain and not to hasten death. That would be ritzicha. Number two, the person, the rofe, the physician who's supplying this, knows really what he's doing. This is not some crock who's just dealing out something he doesn't know. And number three, the patient can't be in a state where he's literally, rahman al-islam, on the threshold of death, whereby one zrika would put him over the edge. It's got to be a case where he's not quite that sick. And he says, number four, he points out here, he says, you got to make sure that it's not being done to, what do you call it? Yesha Tuanim. Here it is. No, this is the last point. There are those, Yesha Tuanim, Don't worry about the last point I was going to make. Yesha Tonim Shemata Narcotica Yesh Bukocha Af Laharich Et HaChayim. There are those who say that narcotics even have the ability to lengthen lives. Shekein B'Minias HaKe'ev HaSevo. By removing the pain and suffering, Margish HaChole Yoser Tov. The sick person feels better. V'yochol Echov Elishtos B'Tzurat Tova Yoter. This is one of the big things. They say it helps with appetite. A doctor who I know, who's actually, he happens to be a dentist, has said that maybe another one of these issues is that, unfortunately, people often die sooner. They get sick more. Why? Not just because of the pain, but because they're depressed. That the pain and suffering causes them depression. And perhaps by removing the pain and suffering, it would enable them to live longer. So now that we understand that, we understand the ruling of Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach. Look at this on page 10 regarding Shabbos injections of morphine. Because all this is really relevant to morphine, which is a meshachar kekev. It's an analgesic. It takes away the pain of the patient. So says Rav Shlomo Zalman, Mutar lachalales haShabbos kedei lahazrik zrika sheyesh lachol sheyesh bo sakana. Im ladas harofem on page 10 in the bracket in Shvir Shabbos and Paraglamid Beis, Osnun Zayin. Im ladas harofe adover darush lo b'Shabbos kedei l'raposo. If it's going to help him, o kedei lahakel olav, or to make it easier for him. Look in the footnote. Says Rabbi Yoshua Neuwirth, the author of the Shmir Shabbos, he says, Shamati, bound in 150, mi hagon Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach shlita, te bezrikas morphium, she'eno bo el lahargia ve'eno refua, and nira lechora, he says, maybe we should say it's like a case in Shulchan Aruch of Akira Shein, which is not to us, or look at the end of the next line, b'pnei she'eno refuya du'a. We're not sure about that, whether it really works, and we should aser it. In Cain, he says in the bottom line, lechora gam b'zeh ein l'chalas ha-shabbos l'tzorach hazrakas morphium. Maybe we shouldn't allow chilul Shabbos. You should be able to drive in the car on Shabbos to give the guy a morphine shot. However, look at the next page. Says Rav Shlomo Zalman, Ach al kolponim yesh makom lomar. One might argue and say, Shemotu lechalel. Would be allowed to drive on Shabbos to give him the morphine injection. Why? Shaharei gam keivim alulin lisakein chaye adam. Adkan dvarav. Even the pain may be enough to permit actual chilul Shabbos.
He's not paskening, he's just saying makom lomar.
Exactly. So that opens up a whole door. Maybe that's really the psak. He doesn't give a final ruling on that.
But you're talking about chol sheyesh bo sakana.
Yes. Correct. Everything on Shabbos has to be chol sheyesh bo sakana. But now we've introduced this idea that palliative care is number one obligatory. Number two, said Dr. Steinberg, it's something that will give even if it's a small risk of damage, as long as it's not going to be imminent death. And now number three, it's so important that even this docha Shabbos potentially, according to Rav Shlomo Zalman. So this is the importance of palliative care of morphine. What about medical marijuana? So first we have to understand what's the issur of marijuana in general. Who said marijuana is usur? So that's page 12. The Halakha of Moshe Feinstein, Zecher Tzadik v'Kadosh Levracha, and Yoredeya in Sima Lamed Hei, Issur Ishun Samim. This tshuva is from the early 1970s. To Rav Yeruchim Fram. He says, page 12. Bedvar asher hischilu eze bachurim mehayeshiva la'ashen chashish. Parenthesis marijuana. Poshut shudover osur mikame ikori dinim shebetorah. There are several reasons why marijuana is an issur d'oraisa. Number one, he says, chadash u'mekalkel u'mechala esaguf. It destroys the body. Number two, even if it doesn't destroy your body, second, skip down, next line, Avo Makalkal Hu Esadas. It takes the person out of their mind. They're on a high. They can't learn Torah. They can't daven. It's Minia Gamit Filo Mimitzvah Satorah and Talmud Torah. And then the third answer, take a look at the third reason, two lines down from that, Va'orud, interesting, Shehu Goreim Taiva Gidola Ashehu Yoser Mitaiva Sa'achila V'chadome. He incurs this type of desire, this deep desire, which might be called addiction, which is worse than even anyone who has an obsession about food. And that is also, he suggests, from the Isra of Ben Sorer Umore.
Oh. Wow.
Interesting. This Ben Sorer Umore, who gets into this obsessive behavior, says Rav Moshe, the addiction of drugs is a caveat of that. Finally, the last point he says at the end, He says, it's an Isser Asev Kedoshim to you, it's not being holy, and it leads to many other Isurim and Averos. So there are several reasons, says Rav Moshe, why it is that marijuana is prohibited. So if that's the case, what would you say about medical marijuana? What would you say?
It has nothing to do with what he says.
I'm putting it in the same category as morphine.
Oh, why do you say it's nothing to do with it?
I mean, it has nothing to do with learning. You can't learn if you're in pain. You wouldn't be able to learn.
That's right. The person.
I mean, all the things that he's raising here have nothing to do with palliative care.
Excellent.
Well, there's something else also. That's what I was going to say. There's no palliative care issue. Here, these are voluntary
recreational marijuana.
Yeah.
Exactly.
It wasn't a medicinal purpose.
Exactly. So now here we go. Actually,
did Rav Moshe file? He was asked to Osir smoking and he didn't?
So he did not Osir smoking here in the 1960s, because in the 1960s, everybody smoked. The Surgeon General didn't tell us yet that if you smoke...
3 out of 4 doctors said it was okay.
So it's...
When
did they come out with that Surgeon General report?
Over the last... I mean, this is already... And even when they came out with it, maybe it was just a small... Surgeon General also talks about, you know, not drinking... Whatever. Too much wine. That's true. You shouldn't drink too much wine. But now everybody knows. The RCA just published a PSOC several years ago saying that smoking is an Isser D'oraisa. That's prohibited to smoke. That's why we have to... I have to encourage everybody we know to be healthy and eat right and to exercise and not smoke. So, says the next page, which is something interesting. We don't usually bring full articles here to hand out, but I want to bring it to your attention because it's not a secondary source, it's really a primary source.
So in other words, this Rav Moshe, this entire exercise here is just not nogea.
We're going to find out in a second whether it is or isn't. So this is an article authored by Rav Yitzchak Zilberstein, who is a very important Rav. He lives near Bnei Brak. He's written several Svarim. And he wrote an article because he was asked the following Shaila. Look, I'm giving the whole article. It's on page 13 in Tchumen in the 23rd volume. Tchumen is a very important Israeli journal, a volume that comes out every year from Machom Tzomet on issues of halacha and state, health, government, society, military, fascinating articles. So he has the following Shaila. He was asked... in Iyar Tufshin Samach Beis, just less than 10 years ago, of Shaila of Dr. Boaz Lev, Mankal Misrad Habriyut. I'm in the number one. Asher Nishlacha Betes Be'Iyar Tufshin Samach Beis. He says, Mai Emdata Halacha L'Sugyat Matan Tipul B'Samim Misukanim. What's the story about giving dangerous drugs? She'inam Rishumim Ketrufot. They are not listed as drugs. They're not morphine, which is regulated by science. L'chol anot alamos, manachol anot l'cholek. What do you answer a sick person? Shelikrat moto rotzeli tol cocaine osamim hallucinogenim.
LCD.
Kedei lahargish tov ulahaflik ba'olam shel hazayot. And to flare, to fall away into this world of floating away. What's the story? How do we view this? Do we permit it? So that's the Shaila. So first, turn to the next page, 14. Rav Zilberstein argues in number 2. He says, wait a second. The last few moments are very important in a person's life. What are they used for? Chazara b'tshuva. Vidui. He says, what happens? This person's going to be off in La La Land. They're going to miss out. So you know what he did? He took this Shaila to his father-in-law. Who is the father-in-law of Rav Yitzchak Zilberstein? The great posek, Agon Rav Yosef Shalom Eliashiv. Rav Eliashiv is one of the foremost poskim in Israel today. So Rav Eliashiv,
who's very sick now.
Who is, I know he hasn't been well, but should live and be well. So Rav Eliashiv was asked this Shaila by his son-in-law. So the son-in-law said, look, he's wasting away the rest of his life. He's missing out on the last few moments. I think, says Rabbi Zilberstein, we should prohibit it. He brings it to Rabbi Yashiv, and Rabbi Yashiv says, I disagree. I think it's permitted. Look at the fourth paragraph. Kishayitzati et dvarai lefnei mori chami maron hagon Rabbi Yosef Shalom el Yashiv shlita lo kiblam. He says, Hu ta'an, Rav Eliashiv said, Shemistaber shem yimalois mishalto, if you listen to the sick person and give him the marijuana, yikalu al sevel uvekach naris, narin cheshot chayav midama. Midatma. Maybe in Achanami, if you give him the morphine, if you give him the marijuana, he'll live longer. And he doesn't mention this, but I would say that what he means to say is he'll have the vidui when it's the appropriate time, and then he'll take his marijuana and feel better. And then maybe if he feels better, he'll say vidui nach another time. You know, he says, you can't worry about those things. You can say it over and over again. You can't worry about that. Maybe you'll make his life longer. Then he quotes an interesting raya that maybe from a Gemara in Sanhedrin, which says that they used to actually give someone who was going to be stoned by the Bezdin, they used to give him some type of elixir to kind of make him a little confused so it won't be so painful. He asks number three, he says, wait a second, Rav Yoshev, look at this tshuva that we just read from Moshe Feinstein. Didn't Rav Moshe say that it's aser? Last line on page 14, as Tana Zu Docha Mori Chamishlita. Rav Yoshev said, Rav Moshe doesn't apply here. Rav Moshe's tshuva, as all of you said, it's Namru al Adam Bari. Weird tshuva is talking about a healthy boy, recreational marijuana. V'lo al Mesukan bal Sevel Kasher Rotze Lahakel al Yisu Rav. Not there. Number four, says Rav Zilberstein, I'm concerned. He says, if you allow medical marijuana, it's going to cause a pirtza. More people in the community are going to start using marijuana. Says Rav Yashiv, it's not up to you to make up gezeros. We don't find such gezeros, and you can't institute a new gezero if you have an opportunity to save a guy's life and to make it a little bit longer. He goes with a couple of other arguments. At the end of the day, take a look on the last page. Says, this is the end of the day, says Rav Zilberstein, after consultation, see number 8. He'oros harofim ba'ad matan hasam v'negdo alinyan ze shamanu kame he'oros michach meharofim. Several things you should consider in this issue. Number 1. Hasam shebedubar LSD gorim l'mishtamesh bo sakana miyadit. It causes an immediate danger, which is what? Ki achola alul lachbol ba'atzmo mi'beli sheyargish. He may cause a self-inflicting wound. Therefore, l'chein yesh linkod be'emtzayish mira matimim b'mikre v'nachlit lahatir. You have to be very careful. You have to take precautions that the person shouldn't injure themselves if they're going to allow the LSD. Number 2. Yesh lach showed shelefamim hatzevet harufui amus ma'od. Sometimes the medical staff, they're very busy. They're full. They feel bad for this guy. Maybe it'll be easier for them on the floor on their rounds. They'll just make the guy quiet. And that's wrong, because that's not with the patient in mind. That's thinking about themselves. Gimel. Yesh gam lishkol. Ulai becholzos nechashev hasam letrufa hamekila alacholem yisuri hagufa nefesh. Nonetheless, maybe we should say that marijuana actually, by ameliorating the pain of the ill person, actually it is an aid to allowing them to live longer. Finally, what's the end of the result? Sikum number 9. Le'anius dati, I say Rav Zilberstein, ha'yanira limnoa es hasa me'achol ha'mavakish zos. Don't give him the marijuana. Ach, mori chamish lita lo kibel dvarai. Rav Yashiv did not accept my arguments. Uposak lahayonos lo kadeh laharich es yamaf ad kama she'efshar. Rav Yashiv says it's mutter. So at the end of the day, we have a machlokas aposkim. But we understand now the context, that at least we understand, first of all, that there is an importance to palliative care. And that runs the gamut from very serious isturim, the question of torture versus actual death, to tsar on Shabbos, refuah, dinim to rabbanan that are lifted because of tsar, all of those considerations for pain purposes. Then we saw the importance of palliative care at the end of life. And that's what Dr. Steinberg was explaining in the ASIA article, which is the basis, the fundamental basis for the Israeli law in the Knesset, which you can look up and you'll find it's on the books. And even though we say, says Rav Moshe, that recreational marijuana is prohibited for several reasons, that it puts the person out of touch with reality, they can't learn Torah, fulfill mitzvos, it causes terrible taivas, addictions, all that kind of stuff. Nonetheless, it's still mutter according to Rav Yashiv. Says Rav Zilberstein, it's usher for a variety of reasons, some of which we went through. You can see the rest in the article by yourself. On the other hand, Rav Yashiv says, look, the possibility of extending the person's life, being mekel al yisurav, ameliorating the suffering, that itself is the palliative care, that's a mitzvah. It would be a mitzvah v'chora to give it to the person. Yashikoach.
Yashikoach. The... The one about Rav Feinstein, what about alcohol? Alcohol would come within all of these...
So perhaps we should say...
But they would never say that yeshiva boys, you know... They don't ask for alcohol, like for the holidays or showers.
Alcohol is not the same thing as marijuana. Obviously, alcohol in small, moderated quantities is okay. It's probably even healthy. A glass of wine once in a while, it's probably healthy if it's done in moderated
fashion. They can start saying that for marijuana, too.
No, but you can take...
You certainly can take alcohol to the extreme. Absolutely, you have to be careful about it.
I want to take Ralph Feinstein's point and say when you start with recreational alcohol, quote, recreational alcohol, it can lead to
It's a thing we should consider. It's a careful, it's definitely a sensitive issue.